All right. You know, the more we get into Torah portions, the more you study, the more you read, the more you apply God's Word, you realize more and more how much you cherish it, how much more you need it. You love it and cherish it the more you use it and apply it. I've been doing a lot of taxidermy work the last couple of days. And, you know, it kind of reminds me, you know, the first time you're on a boat, you know, and watch my grandfather and other ones you go ride on a boat with, boat captains. Watching is one thing. But when you got the wheel in your hand for the first time, it's a scary thing. You know, you picture it in your mind all the time, what it's going to be like. You know, I could do this. I could do that. Until you're out there on the water for your first time and you're doing it, it's really scary. It takes some time. You got to learn all the things. You know, what you see others do, watching, all you can do is get a mental picture. That's at best. Until you hands-on and you're going through your experiences, you're running the ground, where you're going, how you're getting there, the fog, whatever. It just takes a lot of time and a lot of training. And with this taxidermy work, you know, watching and seeing, until you get your hands on, it's a scary thing. You don't want to tear this thing up. You're trying so hard. And it takes time, and you're going to run into the bumps in the road. And when you do, you know what to do next time. And so after doing over 20 birds already, I'm getting the hang of this. It's not as scary as it was. Before, I was like scared to kind of put that thing on a wire wheel. Now it's easy. I'm cruising. I'm like, I feel like I'm riding a boat now. I'm getting this thing. And then you start seeing that the only way you could do this is with a vision. And it's the same way with God's Word. You got to have a vision. If you don't have a vision, it takes you so much time because you really don't know where you're going with this thing. You know, you get you a visual of what you're going to do and you stick with it and it comes out to being like that. It works. But if you don't have a visual, you'll be all over the place. And then when you're doing this, it's kind of like art. The cool thing about art, I've always learned, you make a mistake, you could hide it or fix it. You can. You make a mistake, there's a way that you can fix it in art. It's really cool. It's pretty neat. There's times where, you know, I was putting the glue to the bill and putting it close. And on the other side, I glued it and boom, I left a little gap. And I could see the white in there. You take a little paint and put it in there. You can't see it. It's hidden. You could fix things. You could work on it and fix it. But it takes time. And it takes consistency and just constantly staying with it. And I want to speak a little bit about some things that Brother Herman had mentioned in the Torah portion. Just some things that I've been using, that I've been applying, that mattered to me the most, that I've been using a lot. And he said in the Torah portion, it began with advice and it ends with a result. And in Exodus 18, 17 through 27, Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You're not able to do this alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice. And God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy, and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people will go to their place in peace." So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. Moses chose able men out of all of Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And they judged the people at all times. Any hard case brought to Moses, any small matter, they decided themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart. And he went away to his own country. And that was the advice that his father-in-law brought to him. And that's what they had to do. And then when you get to 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 through 10, it ended with a result. But you are a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so Brother Herman talked about being humble. So in here, the only way they received the mercy was being humble. And the only way they could abide by the advice was what was brought to Moses. And Moses was humble about it. We spoke about that. Now, when you get to James chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. So speak and so act. You got to focus on speak and act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Receiving and applying God's advice brings a result of mercy and peace. Rejecting and not applying God's advice, remember, it's God's advice to people, brings a result of judgment. That's why mercy triumphs over judgment. If you're doing something wrong, you're going to constantly be judged. If you're doing something right, you don't get judgment, you get mercy and peace. So that's what the Word does for us. It brings us mercy, it brings us peace. That's what the words are for. That's why I love the rules. That's why I love His laws. That's why I cherish them, because I see where it's a benefit to me and His people. That's what it's for. And we'll get into all that a little bit later. Mercy should triumph over judgment if we're applying God's advice through others. Many of us here receive advice from God, from people, not just from the book, from people. There was a law and an order. Moses, then he had to put leaders in place. Put the leaders in place. And it would be just as if God were speaking when they had to make the judgments and decisions. Yeshua gave advice that opened up my understanding. Like I've been reading some things about what Messiah says, getting his advice. And there's one that stuck out to me this week in Matthew chapter 18, 1 through 3. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, the Bible clearly says not to read to show yourselves approved, but to study. And our pastors always tell us, when you read, read slow and carefully and think about what he's saying. Don't read through it so quickly. Maybe you might not get it at that setting. Read it again. I read it again and read it again. And the word child stuck out to me. And I was talking with Brother Herman Sunday morning about it. And he started sharing with me the same thing about a child. And then about the scripture in Proverbs. The scripture in Proverbs chapter 22 verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." You see, a child can be trained up and taught spending time with them in consistency. I saw some of the stuff on Facebook. Arise and the little kids, they're up there, they got the mics and they're singing and they're learning. You keep doing this over and over, repetition, consistency. You keep on and on. They're going to do it. Let me tell you something. My wife's been working with little Casey in phonics every day. My little girl's reading sentences at 4 years old. You stay consistent with it. Isabella's up here at Mariana. She knows how to play a piano. She bing, 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 bing. Chords. Got chords. Consistency. Training. Learning. Every day. Before you know it, she's going to be up here. She's going to be playing. It takes time and consistency. We've got to focus on what he's talking about. He said, unless you're like a child, you can't enter the kingdom. You got to become like a child. You know, when I walked through the doors of this church, the Lord reminded me of this yesterday. I wasn't a child when I walked in these doors. I was in my 20s. I was an adult. And as an adult, I had to learn to adjust from places I was going people I was hanging out with, things that I was saying. I had to line it up with the scripture. I started making my habits to those here. I hung out with you on the boat, hung out with you here, cooking, cleaning, doing whatever, lining it up with my habits with your habits. I was wanting to do what you're doing. There's a lot of them, a lot of people that's still here, a lot of people that's not here that I learned from. There's a lot of habits that didn't line up with scripture. But that doesn't give me any right to turn away and walk away. There's one that gives the advice. There's one that I should really take all habits from as that's the perfect Messiah. Right? Yeshua Messiah. If somebody else is making some bad habits, I shouldn't say, well, I'm done because this person's not doing right. I go to the Messiah and I look and see what his habits were because they were perfect. Perfect habits. So I go to the Messiah and he says, hey, you got to be like a child. You got to grab a hold of these laws. You got to grab a hold of these principles. And you got to apply them on a daily basis. That's what we're doing with Torah. That's what we're doing with all this stuff. Here's one. When you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. I thought about that. I was sitting thinking. You had to look into his glory. Consistency. You had to continually look into it. You had to consistently look and read and seek out and find, is this really the truth, what I've learned all my life? There's something else that God's trying to show us. Let's take a look at it. If you don't take a look at it, you'll never know. But you had to take a look. And when we took a look, then we found, uh-oh, we got some work to do. Now we have a Torah portion with the Brit Hadishah. And every week, I can't wait to turn the next page. I'm telling you. We was into this mercy. We was into humbleness. And I'm like, the next one is judgments. I'm like, look at this. Judgments. And then you read, he put all the judgments in there. And I'm going through the whole Torah portion. I'm like, look at this. This is incredible. This is amazing. And so, so to become like a child, you know, and what is it about the child he was making reference to? Remember, we have to study the scriptures. You have to read it slow, carefully, meditate, and think about it. And in Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way it should go, and they'll never depart from it. And I thought about that. I'm like, okay, so now we're training ourselves up in the way we should go. What if we haven't trained up ourselves in the way that we should go and we're teaching our children something? Which way are they going to go? How are they going to act? How are they going to respond? So thinking again about children. Children pick up on the habits of the parents, right? You can see some of Pastor Jesse and Charlotte, Pastor Charlotte, on Philip. I could see it in his features. A lot of them come from his mom. I see a lot of you in Philip. I really, really do. And then a lot of things I see your dad. So he's picked up on things from you. Mariana, Casey, they look like, in some cases, one looks like me, the other looks like Linda. But their habits they're picking up on is what they're constantly around. So if you're constantly reading and constantly applying on a daily basis, remember, wood to the fire, oil to the lamp, it's going to continually go that way. But if you set it aside and you start hanging around and doing other things like we used to do, guess what? We're going to steadily go back that way again. So before you know it, you're going to be lapping up your vomit. You're going to be doing back the same things. You got to stay on a consistent, you got to stay on it. Continue. I was talking to Brother Herman, and I told him, I said, I could see it's like fire. It's like, you can't touch me when I'm on top of my game, when I'm reading, when I'm studied up, when I'm applying. But I could tell when I'm working or I'm doing something and I kind of brush it off just a little bit, I can tell because my response and my reaction is not going to be real good when something pops up. Because I can assure you something's going to pop up. And if you word it up, study it up, and work in it continually, when it pops up, you're going to say and do the right thing. But if you're not, I assure you, you're going to say and do the wrong thing. You're going to do wrong. You will. Because it's in our heart and it's in our mind. And his word is the only one that is the only thing that corrects it. Because his word is pure, his word is undefiled, and his word will never change, it'll never go away, it can't fade. So that's why I want the word applied in our lives continually like a child. So that's why Yeshua HaMashiach is and should be the one to look to the most for our behavior. And he says, unless you turn and become like a child, you will never enter the kingdom. Matthew 19:16-26. And behold, a man came up to him saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There's only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. If you would enter life, keep the commandments, he said to him. Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, All these things I have kept. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. And when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to the disciples, Truly, I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, With man, this right here is what caught my attention. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. With us, it is impossible because we're tainted, we're flawed, we have evil thoughts, we have an evil heart. We cannot do it on our own. So he says, with man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. His rules, his commandments, and his laws are perfect and imperishable. They're imperishable. So that's why it's so important that we cling to his word and stick to it. When I wake up in the morning, what Brother Josh has been talking about, what Brother Herman's been talking about, I wake up in the morning, I'm putting on what I'm reading, I'm reminded. I just put on peace on my feet. It's on me now. I got my helmet of salvation, my eyes, my ears, my mind is shielded and protected because I cherish his word. It all comes on. But the minute we're not paying attention, we go do something we're not supposed to, it all comes off. Every bit of it. And then we're naked. When he said in Revelations, put on white garments so that you're not naked. You got to be clothed in righteousness. You got to be clothed in this. It's the only protection you ever have. So obedience to him will train us as children prepared for his kingdom. His commandments are his instructions of training for an order that will be in his kingdom. With man is impossible. Addictions cannot be broken and fixed unless we're willing to submit to God's way. And his way says we must be like a child ready for the process. For a child to ride a bicycle, training wheels and parents' assistance, guidance, and steering for the start. Over a period of time and consistency, the training wheels will come off and they will have the concept. Is that it? Is not right. It's not right. Right? Casey, she's starting to read sentences. Consistency. Continually training in it. Over and over and over. Isabella, she's playing the piano. She's getting there. So the same thing. When we looked into his glory, we had to start doing something. We're reading stuff. We're looking up stuff. And now it's so true and it's so real and it's working. As you apply it, you want more. And you want more. And you want to apply more. You see a fault. You see a mistake. You see something you got to work on. And then you just get into it and you start working, applying it. So I found some things in my life that was easy to change. But then I found some things that my pastors, different ones. Brother Herman said this right. Look, when you marry, there's nobody that knows you better than the husband and the wife knows each other better. And my wife knows me. I thought about this the other day. I'm like, you know what? I can't. I did something that made her say, hey, I know you better than what you think. What's wrong? And I walked away and I went outside for a little while and I started thinking about that. I was like, they do know us better. She's with me every day. Come on, Chad. Open up your head. Think about it for a second. She's been set up in your life to see your flaws and to share with you, hey, this needs an adjustment. I know you better than you just about. I'm with you every day. She knows. You cannot hide. So I told her in a text, I said, look, I'm sorry I made a mistake. Look, I can't hide nothing from you. So give me a second to work on this. Where am I supposed to go? Where am I supposed to hide? But I understand that without you, I can't make it because God set you up in my life. And I gave her a really, really good love and thankfulness for her being in my life. She is a great inspiration to me and helping me. And I realize why God really put her there is to help me in certain flaws that I have, to adjust them and fix them. It's not to keep picking on me. Hey, 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 hey. It's, hey, we got some things. And on her end also, we share those things. So it's starting to get clearer and clearer. So it's a process to get weaned off of something. There's some things that I've been doing for a long time. And through the process, I think it was, I wrote it down here somewhere. It was sometime in June, I believe. But anyways, I got some things written down here. If we get to it, we get to it. If we don't, we don't. Back in June, there's some things that the Lord had to share with me that I needed to correct in my life. And a pastor sat us down right there. And how many know that that the Lord speaks through a lot of people? And he spoke through our pastors. And some things I needed to adjust. And so I took that to heart as if God was telling me. Well, he really did. The Lord said it. The Lord said, hey, you need to adjust these things. You need to fix these things. If not, it's going to be like the day when you first walked through these doors. That wasn't a good day. I was tore up that day. I was messed up. I don't want to go back there, so I need to make some adjustments. And I took it serious. And so slowly but surely, you got to wean yourself off. There's things that we've learned. Look, the Christmas and the Easter, it took some time. They had to bring it to us slowly. Indigestible. Couldn't just slam it on us, you know? And so, slowly and easily weaning us from one to the other, then, oh, I see it. Then you see it. So it takes time to wean. We may have some things that, you know, the scriptures say. I was talking about a bishop and pastors, that the wife, he has to have a good wife. That's not a slanderer. And look at the word slanderer. Gossips and pick up on other people's conversations, talking about people. We can't do that. We've got to wean ourselves off of those things. When we hear that, like Brother Herman said, when you hear that, you can't fellowship with those conversations. If at all, be quiet. Don't say anything. But don't get involved in the conversation, especially on Facebook. That's what you're saying that the Messiah says? That's who we're reflecting? So we've got to be really careful. Like Brother Herman said, our words could be fiery darts or arrows that can hit somebody. And again, remember, we're focusing on like a child. Think about children. There's soft-hearted children. And then there's children that you can give them a whip, you can hit them, and it's like you don't even faze them. But everybody has different feelings, different situations, different persons, characteristics. It's like these children. You're not going to talk to a four-year-old like you talk to a teenager. You got to be easy and careful. You can't even have a conversation with a four-year-old like you do a teenager. So you got to be real careful how you say things. You could say something to somebody that to you it's nothing. But if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, you can hit them with a dart. Boom. And it hurts that person. And it might take some time to ever get to talk with that person ever again. It may be anything. I don't know. But I'm just letting you know what I've been listening to and what I've been thinking about these past couple of days. You know, different people, different situations. And getting the Holy Spirit, that's another one. Just like learning a radar, learning to run a boat, learning the taxes, it takes time to learn to hear Holy Spirit. Because we always want to rely on our thoughts, our head thoughts. We go to speak, the first thing that comes to mind, the top of our head. And I'm learning to listen to Holy Spirit. And it's the same Spirit, and He's talking to everybody at the same time. And it all comes like this, if you're listening. And if you're paying attention, it leaves you in awe. It's incredible. It's amazing when you see it happen. But it takes time. And we'll go to John chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. This is one we need to train on. It's incredible listening to the Holy Spirit. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. It takes time to recognize Holy Spirit. Like a radar in the fog, after enough breakdowns running aground, you start to train yourself to listen to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is part of the "it is impossible with man, but with God" by Holy Spirit. You gotta have Holy Spirit or you can't. It's impossible. It's part of His commandments. It's part of the training. It's part of the imperishable. Brother Herman Fatora Portion said, this is another thing. For the Torah portion, I listened to the Torah portion that week. I studied it hard, and I got the angle from what the Lord shared with me. But that didn't mean it was going to be the same angle that Brother Herman was going to come at me with. I was sitting back there, and he came up here, and he said, "The Lord, I guess I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to talk about humility." And I instantly went with my head. I was like, "Humility? Where did he get humility at with this?" And then I was sitting there thinking about it, and he said a couple of sentences and a paragraph, and then he started the advice. He talked about Moses, and then humility came all over the page. You got to stop and think and listen to the Spirit for a second. You got to just listen. Just listen. It's like the Spirit of the Lord saying, "Hey, wait, listen. Listen, I know you got your stuff. Listen." And then I heard it, and I saw it. I saw humility all over the page. I needed that. And so I needed that for even to speak tonight. I couldn't have went throughout my whole week without humility. Every angle, every person. You know what's even more incredible than that? The worship. We got up that morning, the worship, the word, everything that was spoken, everything that was... Sister Lynn got up there, the song, that it touched me. It lined it up exactly what God was talking about. Everything He had to say, everything He had to share, it was perfect. It lined up. I couldn't stop thinking about the song the rest of the day. It was incredible. It's like He's talking to everybody. If we just listen and we apply it. Brother Josh, talking about God's goodness. I used that all week. And there's no telling the unheard testimonies of those who joined in that morning that were in their seats you don't even know nothing about. I don't know nothing about. Heartfelt times with God that just needed that refreshing, that time, that moment. The worst addiction we talked about two Torah portions ago was self-satisfaction. We talked about Esther, and we talked about Saul. We talked about the decisions between two different people and choices that they made. All it was a test from God to see if they're going to listen to Him, do what He said, love Him, and love His people. That's all it was. Self-satisfaction gets us in trouble. And self-satisfaction is something that, I talked about in the Torah portion. It stuck out the most. But self-satisfaction is a bad one. It's pretty tough. Because it lines up with the most toughest word that lines all the words up, and that's love your neighbor as yourself. And Brother Herman said this. I'm using him a lot. Listen. Everything he had to say lined up with everything that I was listening to, everything I've been going through. He said, loving your neighbor as yourself. He said, ain't nobody loves me more than me. Nobody loves you more than you love yourself. And if you sit down and think about it, we really do give ourselves more than what we give anybody else. We really do. If you sit and think about yourself, the things that you take care of for yourself and what you do for yourself, I thought about it. And if somebody would come against me and my enemies and all those things, it's a tough one to train, and it really is. All of them are summed up in that one. And that's a tough one. I mean, think about the man. I'm thinking about the man that he's like, "Hey, I did this, I did that, I did that. Well, go sell all your stuff." "I can't do that." He's stuck back in that spot again. It's all of them combined, every one of them. And it is a tough one. And we got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of work to do. Galatians 5:14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so, and then he tells us right after this how to abide in it, how to train yourself in it, how to train up in loving your neighbor as yourself. And in verses 15 through 26, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now pay attention. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, here it is. How do we do it? Walk by the Spirit. You got to listen to the Spirit in order to do it. If you're not listening to the Spirit, we surely going to be listening to our head thoughts. If we're listening to our head thoughts, we're going to make the wrong choice again. We're going to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, and not love our neighbor as ourselves. It's impossible. And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousy, anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. He brings joy. He brings peace. He brings patience. He brings kindness. He brings goodness. He brings faithfulness. There's nobody more faithful than the Father. Gentleness. There's nobody more gentle than the Father. Self-control. Against such there is no law. Remember the judgments. We have no judgments if we're abiding by the law. There's mercy and peace. It's two choices, not three, four, five. But the fruit of the Spirit is these. And those who belong to Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, have crucified the flesh with its passions. It takes a training and a weaning ourselves off of the things that we do. That's not correct. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step. Look at that carefully. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step. Keep in step with the Spirit. The pathways of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Steps, footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. You see, it all comes together. The whole puzzle comes together. The more you read, the more you apply, the more you study, the more you stay in it. You start seeing all these things, every piece. You know, I was reading the Torah portion of Brit Hadishah, and I was like, oh, I just read that in the Torah the other day. And I went back, I'm like, that's where he got that from. That it all came from the Torah, every bit of it. It's all over there. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Do you know children? Here it is again, the word children. That's something I talked about. Do you know children have different ages? We talked about that. Another thing that the Lord pointed out to me. Think about the love of the Father. I was thinking about Adam and Eve. The pastor talked about it before, but I use all these things. I remember in the garden, there was the tree of life. And then there was the other one. And they made a bad decision. And now I see us with this wickedness that we are. And if he didn't pull that tree out, and we ate from that tree, it's like in the thousand-year millennial, you'll live forever the right way. But now, if we'd have been forever like this, chaos, forever and ever and ever, with no way out. If he wouldn't have taken that tree out of there, we'd be in trouble. We'd have lived forever, immoral, hateful, ugly, deceitful, robbed, thieves, never gone away. People be digging holes in the ground, wishing that they can still go to heaven. Right? I wish I can go to heaven and get away from this place. We'd be stuck here forever. We'd be in a lot of trouble. But because of his love and his mercy, he said, I want to take it away, and then I want to test your hearts and give you some rules to go by and get it back. He gives us a second chance. He gives us mercy. And so that's why I wake up every morning. I say, Father, thank you for your mercy. We got so many worship songs now. It's got mercy in it. I can't wait to listen to them in the mornings. Thank you for your mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We do the right thing, receive mercy and peace. We keep doing the wrong thing, get ready for the judgment. It doesn't feel good. It bites pretty bad. Exodus 23, verses 20 through 22. Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way. This is in the next Torah portion that we're fixing to read, but this right here is very important to hear. Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Pay careful attention to him, obey his voice, do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. But if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be, it says, if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. You know, God sent and appointed angels. He appointed people as prophets, teachers, leaders with instructions to pay careful attention and to do what he says. For when they speak, it will be as if God himself speaking. Our pastors have been appointed for us here to instruct us. For when they speak and instruct, it will be the very voice of the Lord to pay careful attention and do what he says. Like a mother knows her child, our pastors have been, you know, I thought about this. Our pastors watch Brother Herman, watch Brother Josh, and listen to the Lord. The right time to go and get them. It had to be at the right time for them to be here, freed from all those addictions, everything that they had going on. The voice of the Lord spoke to them. He went out, and just like a mother or father would get their children, that's what he did. He had to take time to listen. And then he had to go tell them. Then he had to instruct them and pull them in. And then to sit me down right there a few months ago in front of everybody, to sit me and my wife down and listen to the Father and instruct me and say, hey, you got to quit doing this. You got to quit doing that. You got to do it this way and you got to do it that way. And so I still listen to that. It's called the first day, second day, and then the third day. I'll never forget that. I went over it three times this month. I just went over it again day before yesterday. And I listened to the whole message. And five times he said in there, this is critical. This is critical. It's critical for those who are here. And he said, I'm not happy right now for those who are not here. There's ones that are here, and it's critical for them. And he said, rather, he ever give those persons that are here a second chance or not, I don't know. That's up to him. But it's critical. And so this morning, I went and looked up the word. Let me see where it's at. Critical. It says, relating to or being a turning point, or especially important juncture. Relating to or being the stage of a disease at which an abrupt change, for better or worse, may be expected. Being or relating to an illness or condition involving danger of death. Could be a death for you that day. That was a very, very important day for me. And it was a very, very important day for others. It was a life-threatening situation for me. I was lied to by the enemy. I was starting not to trust the ones that God appointed for me. If I continued and not made those adjustments, the Lord said it would be again in my life like the horrible shape I was in when I walked through these doors. Now, those who are not here, the Lord said he may or may not give a second chance to speak on their matter again. Yeshua's words in the scriptures on that day was this, in Luke 13:31-34. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. And the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." And from that day forward, even still today, when I wake up in the morning, I say, "Father, I don't want to be beside you. I want to be under the shadow of your wings, because I don't want to be in the open for destruction. I can't hear beside you. I can only hear underneath your shadow. Under the shadow of your wing is where I find my refuge," right? And so once those adjustments are made, there is nothing that can stop you from accomplishing what God had already put in place, like he did for Yeshua HaMashiach. He said, "Today and tomorrow, the next day, casting out demons, doing this, doing that, I'm going to finish everything." There's nothing that could stop him from doing what the Father had already lined up and planned. But on the other hand, if I chose to hold pride, if I chose to not listen, and I chose to continually go in the era that I was heading for, I would have ended up, there's no telling where, I wouldn't be right here. I guarantee you I wouldn't be right here. I'd be somewhere else. Still accusing other people, it's everybody and everything else's fault, without looking at the adjustments I needed to make. My wife, he even said that. The Lord said, "Hey, she's tried to tell you 1,000 times, but you're not listening. You need to listen to her." And so I started listening to her more often. I'm like, "He's right. He's right." So it's getting clearer and clearer, and it's helping me. But those who missed or didn't make those necessary adjustments, Luke 19:42-44 saying, "I would that," this is another, I don't know if he had talked about it that day, but this is one that I went and dug up. Luke 19:42-44 saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." You see, that's a choice you can make. You make the right choice, there's peace coming. But you make a bad choice, they're going to be hidden from your eyes. It says, "For the days will come upon you when your enemies..." Let me tell you something. If I would have went in the wrong direction, and those who were here, if they still never heard that scripture, and if you hear me speaking, if you're not here today, and you hear this scripture, all these scriptures, all these words I'm telling you, it's so important. Go back. It's in June. I know I wrote it down here somewhere. It was back in June. It was first day, second day, third day message. It's so important. It is critical that we listen to that message if nobody's listened to that message. Because it wasn't just for certain individuals. It was for everybody. What the Lord spoke that day was so incredible and has helped me out so much. But it says that the enemy, if you don't heed this warning, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be blind. And the scripture says the enemy's going to make camp around about you. And he's going to hedge you in. I think about a school of mullets, the way they hedged in. And they're jumping and shouting and trying to get out of the way. And they're in that cruel net. And they're taken to the drag. And that's what the enemy does to the one who don't listen, don't pay attention, and heed the warning when it comes. It was critical. It was so critical on that day. And it says, "When your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground. You, and not only you, you and your children within you, your children. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation." Every time, every Thursday night, every Saturday night, every Sunday, every time we got a chance from work that we got other events going on, we need to adjust our schedules. We need to adjust our schedules to God's schedule because we're going to miss it. And it's so crucial that you don't miss not one little bitty thing in the hour that we're living. 85% of the prophetic words of the Bible has been done. 15% we got left. We don't have much time left. We really don't. We don't have time for hiccups and adjustments anymore. So that starts with my life and everybody else's life. We got to get this thing together. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit. He's right on cue. He's perfect. And so that's about all that I got. If anybody has anything else.
I was just going to read.
You need this?
No.
Okay. I'm going to turn this off.